Welcome into the Godly Men Podcast, episode 68. Man, we are getting close to
flying through.
Yeah, we're flying through them. And this week we want to discuss resume writing skills and job interview skills because, you know what, this is something every godly young man is going to go through in his life, Lord willing, hopefully, right? And possibly multiple times. I think there are a few people that get one job and keep with that job for an entire lifetime. If you can, good for you, if that's up your alley. But most of the time, you're going to have to write a resume, you're going to have to put multiple resumes out to try to get a job, and then you're going to have a lot of job interviews. This is very nerve-wracking, and this is very, very difficult, especially when you're young, when you go, what do I put on a resume? What is that supposed to look like? How do I build one? Is it just a Word document? And once I have a resume, okay, I go into the job interview, like, what are they going to ask? What do they expect from me in that situation? That's very daunting, and if you don't have anybody that has been able to walk you through it, that's why we're here. We're going to try to help with that.
This is going to be a very practical episode. Yes. We're not going to be, a lot of our episodes are kind of theoretical. This is going to be very practical. Do's, don'ts, you know, what should you say? What should you, you know, wear? Things like that. Very recently, I was, so I'm a director for Chick-fil-A, and we have open interviews every, same time every week, certain day of the week. And I was sitting at a table to where I could see the interviews going on. I could kind of hear, I was close enough. And this young guy came in, and it's Chick-fil-A, so 15 or 16 year old guy came in with his dad, dressed in sweatpants, Crocs, I think, maybe flip flops, ratty looking hoodie, and sat down for his job interview. His dad was sitting a few tables away, and it just struck me as like, this dad did not tell his son, like, hey, and not to spoil the, you know, spoil later on content, but like, hey, don't wear a hoodie and sweatpants and flip-flops to a job interview. Dad was sitting right there, apparently never crossed his dad's mind. So one of the reasons we're doing this episode is we understand, even if you have a dad who's very involved in your life, maybe he didn't teach you these things. Maybe he didn't teach you these skills of, hey, this is what you need to do, say, wear when you go to a job interview. This is what you need to put on your resume. And so hopefully you have somebody in your life, a father, who is able to do that for you. But if not, that's the purpose of this episode. Not absolutely. Everybody has those things.
Absolutely. We're going to jump right in on building a resume because we want to build a resume first before you get the job interview, because if you have nothing to give them, then you won't get the job interview, right?
For sure.
As we get into building a resume, the first thing is very, very basic, but it is be honest. And there are two sides to this coin. There's be honest in the fact that some people are going to oversell themselves, which is arrogant and it's lying. I'm sorry. There's just
Over-exaggerating
what you did at the last job. And I was a manager of sales and it's like you sold two things for... No, there's flat out lying and you're overselling your skills. Why is that wrong? First off,
it's falsifying information.
It's falsifying information. Second off, what if they actually need you to be able to accomplish that job and you do not have the skills? You told them you had the skills. They interviewed you as though you did. Maybe you were able to get through that and kind of lie your way through. Not a good look. First off, you are a godly young man, right, on the podcast. So godly young men don't lie. Second off, you can really get yourself in hot water here, and I have seen people who have, I'm talking with somebody recently, who falsified information on a resume. That's not good. Like, that's not okay. It's not appropriate. But the other side of that coin, and being honest, is the people who undersell themselves. Somebody who led an entire wing of sales of something else, and like, I've done a little bit, you know, I guess I haven't really done that much. Like, yeah, you have. Right. Yes, you have. If you do have incredibly impressive things on the resume, bring it out. That is, don't be falsely humble of, oh, gee, shucks, you know, I've never done this before. The point of the resume is to bring out, yes, I am proficient in this area. You don't have to brag about it. You don't have to be arrogant about it. But it is okay to put on the resume, this is what I've done, and this is where I've been, and this is the position that I've held.
This is a personal preference, I guess, of mine, because the first side of the coin that Joe described was arrogant lying, like lying arrogantly. I personally would prefer honest arrogance over false humility.
Yeah.
Because to me, somebody who is falsely humble is, first of all, I feel like they're trying to present an image of themselves that might not be them, of like, oh, you know, I'm just not all that great. Don't love that. But then secondly, it kind of reeks of a lack of self-confidence. And anytime you're going to job interview or get a job, you do not want to be arrogant. Don't mishear me. But you also don't want to be Mr. I have zero confidence. Because if I'm somebody who's looking to hire somebody for a job, I'm looking for at least a little bit of confidence. And so if you have to lean more towards one or the other, lean away from the false humility. Because it's just, to me, it's not a good look.
And I have it on here. Discuss pertinent accomplishments.
Yeah.
If you're going to, let's say, a preaching job, you went to Lads to Leaders, you were in the winner's circle. Let's say this is your first interview or your first resume. you don't really have a whole lot of experience. You can't put down six other jobs. You've been, okay, what do you put? Well, on your first resume, you're going to speak to your attributes, and you do want to speak to pertinent accomplishments. If you have accomplishments in public speaking because you did XYZ, you were on the debate team in your high school, and you happen to do Lads to Leaders and got in the winner's circle and have done that for 5 years straight, that is a very good piece of information for this congregation to have as you go out on the resume. Whatever it may be, right, especially if you're going for a summer internship or something, speak to the pertinent accomplishments that you have in your life and sit down for a second and rack your brain. What have I accomplished? Because the easy thing is, like, oh, man, I've never accomplished anything. That's not true. There may be times where you have, you just didn't register it as such.
I would put skills down as well. And in fact, I'm trying to remember, I should have pulled it up. My phone is what's actually recording right now, so I can't pull it up. But on my resume, and I think if you look up templates for resumes, a lot of times it's going to have skills, or I guess maybe abilities first, then it's going to have an education category, then it's going to have a previous jobs category, and then it's going to have an accomplishments category. And I think when you're putting your resume together, it is helpful to think in those terms. To Joe's point, let's say you've had literally zero jobs and this is your first job. Okay, you can still fill out the skills. Excuse me, you can still fill out the skills section of like, and you know, I mean, at some point, a resume is somewhat about giving your accomplishments, giving what you're good at, and so you might not want to boast. That's kind of the whole point of a resume, is to like boast about what you're able to do. And so you can fill out the skills section. You can fill out the education section. Even again, if you're a 16-year-old, completed, you know, this level of GPA, you can, you know, put whatever it is, school you attend, and then any accomplishments, as Joe's saying. And then if you're later in life, you put your job history on there, you put what you did, you're very specific about maybe some accomplishments that you had. I would just encourage you kind of compartmentalize, it's a tough word for me to say apparently, compartmentalize the skills, the accomplishments, the education. That's typically the way it's broken down on a resume. And so as you're going to fill it out, just think in those terms, and it should be able to spell out pretty easily, I would think.
And if you have no experience and you're really worried about that, start your own business, mow some lawns. That you can put that on there.
That's a good point, yeah.
Or go to a friend who has a business, or who can, you know, take you on the side, and on weekends you can go and work for $100 a day or whatever, power wash. I don't know. Like, go find somebody who can use you as their help. Do that for a summer. Now you got something on the resume. So if you're really worried about it, you make some great points on the skills and accomplishments, things like that. But then there's also, you can go out and kind of build your resume on your own without needing another job to fill it out.
One last thing that we'll say, because Joe's got on here, My Perfect Resume, resume.com, or nice or good places where I guess you can pay to get your resume done. I think what I did is I just looked at a template. There's all kind of templates online that you can just kind of, again, they break it out, skills, education, whatever, and you just kind of take that template and just put in your own information, and it's super easy, super clean. The only other thing that I would say for advice, don't make it 6-7 pages long.
Yeah.
Don't sit there racking your brain of every single thing you did for every single semester of your high school career. Put the bullet points, put the highlights. Don't, at some point there is a level like, okay, this guy is trying too hard. This guy is just putting every single, he's just droning on and on. Keep it nice and clean. Keep it concise. Don't leave out things that are pertinent, but yeah, don't make it 4 or 5 pages long.
Yeah. Keep it, I'd say 1 to 2, and clean bullet points. Don't drone on and on and on about the story where the one time you went to Africa and you let a mission
save
trip
a kid's life or something.
Like, you know, and you're going on and on. Like, you can put, went to Africa, save kid's life. That's the case. They go, whoa, what's
that? That's pretty
good
accomplishment.
Let them
I will
ask.
Say.
Yeah, exactly. Put that one down. No.
Missionary to Africa.
Let them,
whatever it is.
Let them ask what that is. And once again, I say pertinent information, pertinent accomplishments, because depending on the job, you may hold some things back. If you're going to get a corporate job somewhere, they probably don't care about your Lads to Leaders experience all that much per se. You may put it on there. But if you're going to get a job in, I don't know, engineering, they may not care that you had public speaking experience, because that's not part of the job description. But if you're going to go, I remember the first resume that I sent out and gotten through Bear Valley.
How old were you?
18?
Wow.
Maybe 19? Yeah, 18 or 19. Graduated Bear Valley. That obviously plays well, put that on the resume, but I had also done 2 mission trips to Africa and taught at a school over there. I did put those down because it was for actually a preaching job in London, which they, long story short. Anyway, great congregation, but yeah, I put that out there. That was very pertinent to them.
Yeah.
They had a lot of Africans at the congregation, but that also played very well. So you're looking for things that might, once again, impress. Yes, you are boasting a little bit about what you're able to accomplish. So the resume point kind of speaks for itself, but do not, to Will's point, do not drone on and on and on the resume, and try to fill out the resume when the boss is looking at it going, you're 16, you don't have this much experience. And you're looking at it going, I'm 16, I don't have this much experience. Don't put 7 pages down. It's okay to have 1 page. They expect you at 16 years old or at 18 years old to not have some massive resume. That's okay.
That's exactly right. I was trying to remember how old I was when I first drafted my resume. I know I had to send one when I went down to Decatur to be a youth evangelist. I was 20 at the time. I had two other jobs before that, but I don't remember if I did a resume for that or not. So maybe I did. But there will come a time in your life where you need to fill out your resume, and where you need to keep a copy of it for, you know, to update and things like that if you, you know, need a new job or whatever it is. So we're going to go ahead and move on to the job interview portion of this. I have had, I would say, 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, like, kind of legitimate big boy jobs. I've actually only had 2 job interviews. So I did not interview for every single one. I'm not sure how many job interviews you've ever had. While he's thinking, this is something that I feel like I have a decent level of experience on. Again, I know for sure that I had 2 legitimate job interviews where I sat down across the room, across the table from the person, the potential employer, and they were asking me questions. I was forced to kind of, again, put myself through the situation of like this out 1 hour or 2 hours that we have together could determine whether I get this job or not. That's a lot of pressure.
Yeah,
that's a lot to think about. That, again, your performance, so to speak, not performance, your the way you carry yourself, the way that you answer questions, the way that hour goes with your potential employer very much could and likely. I mean, that's the whole point of a job interview. It's going to determine whether or not you get this job. You know, and or maybe employed there for the next 5, 10 years, whatever it is. And so there's a lot of pressure. This is where we want to give you some do's and don'ts of things that maybe will hopefully help you get that job and hopefully help you impress your potential employer to the point where you don't have to be nervous. I think everybody's going to be nervous at least to some extent, but being prepared is the best way to kind of eliminate the nerves. So any thoughts on the job interview portion? How many have you had? Do you remember?
I was thinking through, and I had more come back to me even while I was thinking. So I think I'm up. I know at least a solid 6, probably 7. I want to say maybe on the 7 end of things
for job interviews.
For job interviews, I've only ever not gotten 1. So
okay,
that, it and the reason why is a lot of what you put on this list. I very much try to do. Maybe not the early part because I stay showing up early. No, but you can overcome a poor resume in some ways in the job interview if you come across as ultra charming. Like, okay, you can't overcome no resume. Like, if you have nothing and they really need something, or they need a degree and you don't have a degree, okay, there are some things like that. But if your resume is kind of poor, but you come out charming the pants off of him and they go, wow, that guy is special. He gets the culture around here. He understands the job. You can do a lot in the job interview and make up for a lot of woes.
I would say the reverse of that is true also. You can have a
knockdown
resume that looks fantastic, and if you go in there and bomb your interview, you're not getting hired. Yep. Like, the interview is, I in my opinion, the way more important thing. I think most employers would agree with me that if they get a fantastic, snazzy-looking resume and they sit down across the table with somebody, that is going to be the determining factor. The resume is going to contribute, of course, but again, if you go in there and just absolutely bomb the interview, you're probably not getting the job. And so this, I would argue, is more important. As Joe said, if you can charm them, if you can, and not charm them in a way of like, you know, fake your way through it, but like if you can demonstrate that you communicate well, that you are a nice person, a kind person, whatever, you're probably going to get the job. So let's get to the first one.
Yep.
I would say bring your resume would be the first
paper copy
of this category. Bring a paper copy. If you want to be an overachiever, I've done this before, and email them a copy beforehand. Say, here's a copy of my resume, but bring a paper copy as well, I would say. It makes you look prepared. It makes you look like you are taking this seriously. You know what this is about. Even if you, again, want to do both digital copy and also paper copy, bring your resume to your job interview. They might take it and set it on the table and not look at it for the rest of the interview. That's okay. You did your part. Anything to add to that?
As you already said, resume.com, I think, is free. MyPerfectResume.com is the one I use. And the reason why is because it does give a very good template and it is very clean. You can do what Will did, which is borrow from the template, go make your own. Some of these, they already have the template. You fill it out. It's when it prints out very well. When it emails very well. You can go in and change it. I actually pay $3 a month, which is stupid, but pay $3 a month.
You still pay for it?
Yeah, because it keeps it up. And so you can go in and update it anytime, which is just dumb because I could cancel it and probably go back and do the same thing.
That's a cup of coffee a month.
So, but anyway, bring your resume. Make it look nice. Make it look, as we talked about, concise. But if it's a jumbled mess, if there's a lot of typos, get somebody.
Yeah, that's a great
I forgot to say that on the building resume.
Don't have any spelling errors.
Don't have typos, please, 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 please. If you step in and you bring this paper copy, as you're talking about, and right on the front page he reads, you know, the first paragraph, and there are six typos in the first paragraph, if I'm your boss, and if it has anything to do with spelling at all, or
details,
grammar,
yeah.
Or details, detail-oriented, see ya. Sorry. You're not getting that job. You go, well, what's the big deal? Everybody has a... Not you. You're going to be a step above. You're going to be the guy that's like, this guy knows how to speak. All the commas are in the right place.
Capitalization is correct.
He's not bolding certain things and capitalizing weird things, and he's got his apostrophes in the right place. This is not tech speak with Gen Z cap and all the other... No. This is a place to look good and go talk to somebody. Get somebody at your church. Get a mentor. Somebody who's been through
this
before.
Somebody obviously, proofread it. Yeah.
Your father, whatever, have him proofread it.
Joe, I'm going to let you get into the next one, actually.
You jerk. You're so mean. Show up 10 to 15 minutes early.
Tell us why that's so important, Joe.
Yeah, I have no idea. No, it is very important, specifically in a job interview. I do this, actually, for job interviews. Of course, a lot of
the joke is that Joe is consistently
chronically late.
5 to 10 minutes late to everything on Earth. So,
very true. I don't remember last time I was like genuinely 10 to 15 minutes early somewhere. It's a work in progress, right? It's a work in progress. But no, when you are going to a job interview, show up early. Make sure you're not pulling into the parking lot. They go, wow, is that Joe showing up?
Make sure you're waiting on them to be ready, not them waiting on you.
Correct, because that'll show. It's all in the optics. If you're squeaking into the parking lot at the last second, it's a 4 o'clock, and you're pulling at 3:59 and hustling in and trying to wipe some sweat off and looking disheveled, no. First off, you're not going to interview well. When you go into the interview, you're going to be very nervous about it. And second off, you don't want them to be Joe Wilkie, and then here I am. No,
yeah.
Do not. And yes, that's kind of a trope. You see it on the movies. But legitimately, there are people that do this, that either miss the job interview and then they want a second one. That won't fly. Or they show up 5 minutes late. Make sure you're there early. You're on time, or at least on time. You're looking good. You're able to get your tie or whatever straightened. You're not sweating profusely. You may anyway, but like, you're put together by the time you step into the room.
I would just say there's so many things that this demonstrates about you as a person, about you as a potential employee. Because again, as somebody who has performed job interviews before for somebody, a lot of it is the resume, but so much of it is body language, is what can I read from what time this person shows up, as we're about to get into, what clothes are they wearing. So much of it is trying to get a picture of what this person's like. And so many people might be listening to this going, there's no way this is true. What time you show up demonstrates something about you for the job interview specifically. It demonstrates, first of all, respect, because it means you respect this person's time. Again, you don't want them to be waiting on you. As Joe said, you're not going to come screeching in the parking lot 1 or 2 minutes late, or even 1 or 2 minutes till your interview. You respect them enough to get there a little early, to be prepared, but also demonstrates good time management, that you manage your time well enough to know, I'm going to be here, give myself a little bit of buffer. Because once again, if they're hiring you for a job, they're going to expect you to be on time. And man, if you're like pushing it to get there on time for the job interview, you're probably not great with managing your time and how good of an employee you're going to be. And so with this one, I would just encourage you to consider, what message are you sending as you head into the job interview, as you're sitting there across the table from them? Trust me, they're reading more than just your resume. They're reading more than just your answers. They're reading your appearance. They're reading what time you got here. They're reading all these things. And so that's why I put this one on here. Show up 10 to 15 minutes early. And just like Joe said, it gives you time to kind of gather your thoughts, collect yourself. You look at, you know, the NBA players don't show up to the gym 5 minutes before tip off. They get there, they warm up, they're kind of getting themselves, you know, any athlete does this. They're getting there with plenty of time, you know, getting their nerves kind of under control, as opposed to rolling in at the last minute. Am I here on time? Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm the next one up. Give yourself some time, show up early. Again, it just demonstrates so many things beyond just, I know how to read a clock. Demonstrates a whole lot more.
But once you have the job, you can be as late as you want, right?
Apparently. Apparently that works for some people. Yeah.
Just kidding.
That's why Joe works for himself.
Bingo. And I still show up late to clients sometimes, so... Whoops. Third, put thought into what you're wearing. And I like how you actually had intro this earlier, so I'm going to let you take this one.
Yeah, so I thought about putting like specifically don't wear this or don't wear that. And I decided to go this route, put thought into what you're wearing, because I think I don't want to give the impression that it's got to be a 3-piece suit, or it's got to be a sport coat, or it's got to be, dress shoes or whatever it is. What I would ask is that you put thought into what you're wearing. I already mentioned I'm a director at Chick-fil-A. I don't think you need to wear a 3-piece suit and a tie to walk into your job interview if you're about to work at Chick-fil-A, or if you're about to work at you know, a UPS store or something like that. However, put some thought into it. As I used the example of the poor kid earlier, wearing his sweatpants and his ratty hoodie, and, you know, had some logo on it that, you know, was some band, I think, and some Crocs. Clearly put zero thought whatsoever into his appearance. So I'd say I would encourage you, consider what you're, and I would encourage you to lean more towards more formal than less formal.
Yep.
If you're like, man, I don't really know, lean more towards formal. If you're like, man, a polo shirt and khakis would probably cut it, maybe throw the button up on, and maybe the khakis instead of the jeans, whatever it is. Like, understand that, once again, the people who are interviewing you are going to be reading a lot of things about you. And one of the things about you that they're going to be reading is, how seriously is he taking this? Yep. Even, and again, for us at Chick-fil-A, yeah, it's a fast food job. A lot of 16, 17-year-olds are going to be having these jobs. We still want to know how serious you're going to take this. And so your appearance is a big one. Are you dressed nicely? Are you dressed as if this is a legitimate job interview? So put some thought into it. Brush your hair. Make sure your breath smells good. And any, like, again, if you're going to go out onto a, going to go out for a date, hopefully you're putting some thought into your appearance.
Right.
Same thing with the job interview. You do not want to just, oh, what have I got on? Yeah, sure, I guess this will work. No, 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 no. Make sure that you're dressed appropriately.
And again, as you said, scale up. If you're looking for the local meat packing plant, they probably don't need a three-piece suit, but they probably need you to look
something. Probably, you know, something more than shorts, yeah.
Correct. I would say nothing less, in my opinion, nothing less than a polo. Polo and slacks, or polo and khakis or something. Nothing less than that, but that may be for the lower-end jobs. As you get up, you're not going to show up in slacks and a polo to your Wall Street job.
Right.
You're going to be in a suit, right? So part of this is just think a little bit ahead. I like how you said
that. As far as specifics, I would say hoodies are a no-go, sweatpants are a no-go.
And nothing with major logos, because in my opinion, they may Google that band and go, what kind of music is this? Like, what are you listening? Unless it's like the Beatles or something. And even then, just don't wear things with logos on it. I would say try to keep it classy.
T-shirts in general, I would say.
Yeah, stay away from hoodies, stay away from t-shirts, stay away from flip-flops, from Crocs. Nothing open-toed, in my opinion. I mean, I think you need to be wearing some nice shoes. If you're going to wear Nikes, make sure they're not like ratty.
Make sure they look like, oh, these are Adidas. I had my Nike shoes on, man.
Or anyway, you can wear some snazzy Brent. No,
I was going to say, scale up, I guess, is the best way to put it.
But yes,
that,
scale up. Make sure you're putting some thought into your appearance. The next one, don't slouch. Have good posture. If you're sitting in there and...
Yeah, okay.
Just hunched over, yeah. Yeah, here's my resume. And they're like, hey, are you there? Can we... straighten up. Show them the chest. Show them good eye contact. I think you have that on here, maybe.
I actually don't. That's a good one, yeah.
No, well, yes, next one. Look your interview in the eye. I'm going to put both of these together because this is very important as to how you present yourself. Once again, we think that it's all about, and we're going to get to saying the right, some of the right things. There's so much nonverbal cues, just visual cues for them to pick up on. And the kid who's just slouching and his shoulders are kind of, you know, hunched over and can't make eye contact, he's looking at the floor the entire time or looking at the guy's shoes and, yes sir, you know, make sure you say yes sir, things like that. But yes sir, okay, yeah, uh-huh. No,
project your voice would be
project your
one,
voice, be confident, look him in the eye. I mean, those are the things that, this would go for any other time when you're talking to somebody that you need, that you have respect for.
Especially for a job interview. I would say, so again, to refer back to my Chick-fil-A job, because I've been doing interviews a lot more recently, so this has kind of been on my mind. I was sitting in an interview with somebody, and one of the things that's really big for us at Chick-fil-A, we call it the core four of the way we interact with guests, of your tone, your eye contact, your smile, and then saying my pleasure. Of course, everybody knows that about Chick-fil-A, but eye contact is huge. Had a girl come in for an interview. I was sitting with another guy who actually does our interviews, and I was just kind of there to observe and interject whenever I wanted to. And this young lady, her answers were fine, you know, nothing super crazy. But I noticed she, for the life of her, could not meet either one of our eye lines. She was looking down, kind of looking over our heads, looking kind of around, just could not meet our eye line. And what that told me is, how on earth is she going to be able to do that with our guests?
Yeah.
You know, when she's at the front counter taking their order, delivering their food to them. If she can't look her job interviewer in the eye, then she's not going to be able to look other people in the eye as well. And again, it just demonstrates a level of respect. It demonstrates a level of, I'm comfortable enough in myself to meet your eyes and to not have to, you know, look, you know, at the person's forehead even, or look over their shoulder. Look them in the eye. There's so many of those things, the posture, the voice. Again, not just talking like this. No, project. Make sure they know that you are confident enough to where you can speak and be heard. A lot of things, again, that are not necessarily in the content of what you say, but in the way that you say it and the way that you carry yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just going to go to the next one because I think you wrapped it up well. Don't be chewing gum. Don't have your phone out. Once again, verbal or nonverbal things, you know, just visual. They're picking up on, you're on your phone and as you walk into the room. Look, I would say while you're waiting for an interview, I suppose that's the time. But I still wouldn't be on the phone playing games, anything like that while you're waiting for an interview. You want to sit there. You want to show that you're okay with being alone in your thoughts, in my opinion, for a second. The first thing to do is just pull out the phone. In my opinion, it projects and plays well with, you know, with your future employer, hopefully, for them to see, like, you can sit there and just
your attention
watch.
Span is long your attention enough, yeah.
Exactly, where you don't have to start playing Angry Birds. What's the newest game? I don't even know what the games are on the phones these days. I don't play any phone
Angry
games.
Angry Birds is like 15 years
That's
old.
That's definitely 15 years old. I don't know what the games are these days, but either way, TikTok probably, I guess, everybody oh, yeah. just being on social media. But make sure you don't have the phone out. Make sure you're not chewing the gum when you go in. Yeah, you want to chew your gum on the way in because you want your breath being really good before you go. Spit it out before you go into the interview. That's all I'd say. Or take Altoids or something like that where they'll dissolve as you go in. You can chew them in. But make sure that once again your appearance, where you're smacking your gum, not great, absolutely not. You don't want to be annoying when you go in. And if they see that you can't meet eye contact and they see you got your phone out, your attention span is the hamster attention span. It just doesn't play well. You have to think about everything. So what I would do actually as we're thinking about this, before you step in a job interview, I think you should try to be your own boss. Look in the mirror. What would you be expecting
That's
to see?
That's a great idea. Yeah.
What would you be expecting to see? Because if I was a boss, would I hire the guy with the you know, death metal band on the hoodie as he walks in with hair that's super greasy, hadn't been washed in a couple days, it's not combed, he's chewing gum, he's half on the phone? No, I'm not. And you go, I just couldn't get a job. Come on now. There's a reason you can't get a job. If you're denied multiple times, take a step back, look in the mirror and go, what is it that's causing? And maybe ask your dad or ask other people and say, what is it? Like, have them interview you. Sit down and go through the interview process.
Oh, but yeah. Practice your interview.
Practice your interview.
So here's the next one. And this is of the utmost importance. Answer the questions honestly. By that, I mean, and this ties into the resume one, but as far as the in-person interview, don't try to appear like someone you're not. Answer the questions honestly. Yep. They're going to throw some questions at you that maybe you were not prepared for. It can be very easy. Like, they're going to ask me about this. I know they're going to ask me about this. Just kind of have scripted answers for it. If they're a good interviewer, they're going to ask you some things that maybe you were not necessarily expecting. It is so critically important that you answer honestly. Once yep. again, last time I'll refer back to another interview I had with somebody who they were telling me about their previous job experience and something that did not go well. And I asked, this was not on our interview list. I asked this individual, I said, what do you think you could have done better in that situation? And for this individual, it could have been very easy to say, you know, some cliche answer. But he very specifically brought up something that could have harmed his potential to get a job with us because, you know, he was just very honest. He was like, I should not have done X, Y, Z. This is what I did. This is where it did not go well. But what struck me about it was that was really honest. He did not try to hide it. He did not try to pretend like he was somebody who he was not. He was very honest. And, you know, that's not to say that you just bring up every single piece of bad information and every bad thing you've ever done. Not necessarily. But again, if they're asking you a question, answer honestly. Because honesty is one of those things that you will go far in life. You will go far in your potential jobs, your career, whatever it is, if you are somebody who is honest. Like, people can see that. People can see genuineness. They can also see fakeness. Don't try to appear to be somebody that you're not.
I love that. They'll sniff out the answers. You know, what would you say is your biggest struggle? I care too much. You know, the tropes that you see on TV is, I care too much. You know, I probably work really hard.
I let myself get walked all over
sometimes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sometimes I just take on too much work. And it's a toxic trait. You know what? No.
The corporate-y buzzwords.
Correct. So yeah, like, yeah. Be honest about who you are. And if you don't get hired based off of who you are and your honesty, they weren't the job for you. And you wouldn't have been there long anyway because clearly you don't mesh in your honesty and they didn't appreciate that. Now, if your honesty is like, yeah, I killed a guy. Okay. Probably not going to get that job, right? Like, that's not good. But if the honesty is, yeah, at the last job, this took place. I think that's fantastic that he was willing to literally put his job on the line, his potential on the line, so as to be honest with you. I think that plays very well, and so I love that.
And for the record, he got the job. Like, we hired him.
So, I love it. Yeah. I love it. One thing I'd add that you don't have on here that I'll let you wrap us up. In the job interview, show the passion. Why did you apply for this job?
That's really good.
Instead of having all the right answers or whatever else, I like how you said that, which is just be honest, be yourself. That's okay. Show passion. Why does this job matter to you? And if you go, it's just another job. I just need
the really paycheck. Just want a paycheck.
I just need the paycheck, man. I just need some money. They're probably not.
You ain't
hire
getting
you.
Hired.
Exactly. They're probably not going to hire you. But if it's like, honestly, if I were interviewing at Chick-fil-A, I've been to Chick-fil-A hundreds of times in my life. I love how you guys run. I love the culture. I want to be a part of something that is, you know, that is bigger than me, that pushes, strive, or that causes me to strive to be better, that pushes me to be a better person. I've worked at Wendy's before. I've worked at Burger King before, you know, like, theoretically, right? They didn't really have a culture that I was looking for. I don't think it was a great fit. I really feel like Chick-fil-A, having grown up, I'm, you know, homeschooled Christian, and this is something that resonates with me, and I love the culture you guys have here. So whether you hire me or not, man, I'm still going to come here and eat your sandwiches. I love the culture that Chick-fil-A has. That's how you would bring it in. Well, why is that important? Because I showed the passion that I have for the culture, which is huge. I mean, I know a little bit about your company, right? And second off, I'm willing to say I've been to other jobs. They didn't necessarily work out, but why? Because we weren't a fit culturally speaking. And it's not like you're trying to put down your past employers, but you are trying to build them up a little bit as well. As like, it is cool if I get to work here. I'm excited about this job prospect because of X, Y, Z. And if you're not, and again, if it's just a paycheck, you're not going to get there. So figure out something to be passionate about with whatever job you're going into. Maybe do a little research on them before you walk into the interview room so that you can say, yeah, I love that this is one of your core tenets, that, you know, the my pleasure everybody knows, but there are other parts of it that maybe you do some research, you find it out, and you go, I want to be a part of that because of these four core tenets that you guys have. I think that's fantastic, and I think I'd be a good fit in that area.
I love that. That's a great point. I'm going to speed run this last this last one. Plan to honor what you commit to. It's kind of a weird one to throw on there because this is kind of after you get the job, not necessarily in the interview. But there are going to be things that you agree to in the interview, you know, maybe availability, the times you can work, especially if it's a, you know, entry-level job, fast food job or whatever it is, maybe your first or second job where, you know, it's not a set 8 to 4, 9 to 5 or whatever it is. You're going to have different times you're available. We have people all the time who will agree to that and then 2 weeks later be like, I kind of want to change that. Like, no. Honor what you committed to, whether that be the pay, you know, the person who gets hired a month later is like, hey, when do I get a raise? Like, there's a time and place to ask for a raise. There's a time and place to say, hey, can I get more responsibility? What can I do to earn a raise? But a month after you get the job, not exactly the time. And so I would just say plan to honor what you commit to. If you get down to the point of the interview where you're talking about these various things, again, benefits, time off, pay, whatever it is, if you commit to it, honor it. It always, this is going to get us into a different discussion, but it always kind of turns me off a little bit when, this is especially a problem in the NBA, when athletes will sign a huge contract and a year later demand a trade.
Yep.
Unfortunately, the NBA is set up to where those players generally get their way, but it's always kind of rubbed me the wrong way of like, you literally just signed a contract. You had no problem signing the dotted line because it meant you were going to get paid a ton of money, and now you're like, hey, I want out of here.
Yep.
You know, that's it's just one of those things that is not a great look. Again, that's the sports world. That's celebrities. It's a little bit different. But I liken it to, again, the people who will agree to something in an interview and a month later want to change a bunch of stuff. Honor what you commit to.
That's such a good one and such a good place to wrap. My parents owned a company for pushing 40 years. Lots of interviews, lots of people through, I think by the time they end, there were 60 employees, but hundreds over the course of the years. And so I was privy to a lot of these conversations, and I can't tell you how many people would accept the job and they'd say, yep, I'm good to start on Monday. And sometime between Wednesday when they got hired or whatever, and that next Monday when they'd start, oh, I found another job and you know, they got paid better, whatever. If you took the job, you took the job. And so they'd be expecting the person to start on Monday, and on Sunday they get the call, or they'd walk in. There are times they'd walk in on Monday morning and hear, they didn't get the job. Well, they were planning on this person being there. The person said they were going to be there. They didn't honor their commitment because, oh, I got a better opportunity. Then don't take the job. If you have 3 or 4 other opportunities out there, don't commit to the job and then back out because, oh, I got a better offer. Wait until all the offers are on the table before you take the job.
Yep.
So honor your commitment. Plan to honor what you commit to. I love that, this is where you chose to end here on this outline. But this is an important one because, once again, I want to reiterate where we started, which is, you're going to do this probably a lot in your life. Make sure that you are paying attention, yes, to what you say, but also to how you act, to how you present yourself. All of these things are important. Get a nice cologne. Don't go nuts with it. Don't be the Axe guy all over the place, spray. Right? Where it's like, you know, just walking aroma as he walks in. You don't want that. But at the same time, smell good, look good.
Fresh breath, all of that.
Fresh breath, all of that. Make sure you don't got nothing in your teeth. I mean, those are the important things. Make sure that your grammar is good, is better than what I just said. I mean, these are important elements as you're going to present yourself and be proud of who you are. You are somebody that is worthy of presenting. And if you can't get that in your mind of like, who am I to get this job? You're never going to get the job. You walk in and go, I think I'm the best guy for this job because of X, Y, Z, and I can back that up. Don't be arrogant about it. But kind of, I mean, kind of have
be
a little
honest
bit of,
to be confident.
Be honest, yeah. Be confident in that way. Like, arrogance is not good, but a high level of confidence walking into any job is going to go far for you. And so we'd love for you to get the jobs. We'd love for you to put yourself out there, you know, that you utilize some of these things. You're going to job interview. And if you have any other things to add or any questions, obviously, let us know in the comments. We'd be happy to get back to you.
We'll wrap right there. This has been, again, a very practical episode. Hopefully you got something out of it. If you got questions, as Joe said, let us know. But this has been episode 68. We'll be back next week for episode 69 of the Godly Young Men podcast. Thanks for watching and listening.